This program is brought to you from the Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. The state's workforce shortage is getting worse due in part to a group of employees who are often overlooked, family caregivers. As baby boomers age out of the workforce and sometimes require care, it means that their spouses and adult children are put in the position of balancing work and new caregiving responsibilities. We are talking with two experts on this topic today who are releasing results of a new survey on this issue. We welcome Patty Becker, who is representing an employer in South Central Wisconsin, and Lynn Gall, who manages the Family Caregiver Support Programs for the state of Wisconsin. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you for inviting
us. So you are both connected to the Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance that issued this survey last fall, and now the report results are out. What were you hoping to discover, Lynn, by putting this survey out to employers?
Well, what we were trying to discover was several things. First of all, we wanted to really understand how families were being affected and how employers were being affected. Our thought at the Wisconsin Family Caregiver Support Alliance was that this is a natural issue for employers and families and the state of Wisconsin and everybody else, policymakers, to be working together on to try to solve. And so through the survey, we wanted to find out what caregivers thought was most important to them, what they're struggling with, and what they saw as solutions to those issues, as well as what employers see as solutions to those issues, so we can work together to solve them.
Do you see this as a more of emerging issue that has more urgency to it than it maybe did 10 years ago, Patty?
Oh, absolutely. I think that the aging of the baby boomers, right? We've also got health systems that are able, people are living longer, right? So the it continues to expand as people continue to age. 20 years ago, we predicted the silver tsunami, right? We knew that was coming. We knew that was going to impact people.
And that
people.
Means that we have so that many more people that are in that group of maybe needing care.
Right, exactly. And when we were talking about that 20 years ago, we were talking about it's coming. There's going to be this workforce crisis. Well, we're here. Today is the day. So it is definitely a bigger impact. And like you have mentioned, there are less people entering the workforce. We need to look at how to retain the ones that are there. And this study does a really great job of showing us what that impact is in real time.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the survey. How many people did you reach out to and kind of who were you trying to reach?
Sure. We were trying to reach both employers and employees. In the end, we had a total of 564 employees who responded. Of those, 79% of them had a family caregiving role. And those could be the employers who, there are plenty of employers out there who do themselves in management and other positions, are dealing with this issue as well as their staff. So that's an important thing to remember.
And one of the key findings, 8 in 10 of these employed caregivers are reducing their work hours or quitting their jobs. Some other highlights are on the screen. More than 8 in 10 reducing their work. 68% of respondents said they had to change their work schedule. More than 3/4 of caregivers missed work due to caregiving. 1 in 5 used timeout without pay. And despite the majority, this I thought was interesting, despite the majority of survey respondents missing work due to caregiving, only about 13% we're using FMLA, the medical leave benefit that many employers are providing. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then also, interestingly, more than 1/4 of caregivers had not been able to take a vacation in over a year, so not really getting that downtime that I'm sure would be helpful. I'll ask you both this question. What about the survey results surprised you the most?
For me, I think we know that they've been struggling, but to hear that 24% of these caregivers said that they actually have cut their hours, have reduced the time that they're able to work, or 23% that they had considered leaving their jobs completely.
That's like 1/4 of
and
that.
Yeah, that's almost 25% of your workforce. So if they're not getting the support they need, something's going to happen. They're going to reduce their hours. They're going to leave their job. They might move to another job that's more accommodating. So something's going to happen if they're not supported. And I think that's important for employers to know, that it's important going forward, as you were saying, with the changing demographics. I'm in the DHS Office on Aging. We track that. We've been tracking it for 20 years and years and years, and we knew this was coming. yet little has been done to prepare for it. So it's only going to get more so in the next 20, 30 years as baby boomers age and even people my age. I'm right on the cusp as we get older and we are out of the workforce. There aren't the people behind us in enough numbers to replace that. And those people who are coming, they come from smaller families. There are fewer people to do the caregiving. So they're going to have more stress on them to do the same thing that the rest of us are doing today. So,
Patty, your employer, Community Living Alliance, I know you're across 11 counties, about 350 employees. Do you see that breaking point where caregivers are saying, I just can't keep this job anymore?
Yes. Yes. I think at any given time, we know that any one of the people who works for us, right, any of our employees are impacted by this issue. For some, it's for long term. For some, it's a short term. And for what is very common is if you don't have a trust with your employees, right, if they don't feel comfortable having conversations with their most immediate supervisors, that can be happening in the background and you don't know it, right? So we've worked really hard to build that open communication to help to recognize that. So I do think that we have people who say, I can't do this anymore, I'm going to need to go. We try to offer what we can and some strategies to help them stay, some people do leave, absolutely.
You bring up an interesting point, Lynn. I'm wondering if you hear that from caregivers through the caregiver support program that they aren't comfortable talking to their employer about their new caregiving responsibilities. Is that a big problem?
Yeah, it is. And I think that's one thing that employers can really do to help is to have those conversations be open and not frightening, not scary. People don't want to talk about their responsibilities because they fear there'll be some sort of negative repercussions for that. Either they won't get promotions, they'll be considered a risk. They won't be asked to take on things because they think that their employer is going to hold that against them, and which is not a good place for, you know, those caregivers need those jobs and they want to do a good job. And if they know they have the support from their employer working together, they can keep them in a good position and retain their most valuable employees.
Have you found, Patty, that a well-supported caregiver employee is still just as productive, or how does that person need to be supported in order to keep up their productivity?
We find that if we provide somebody the space, right, if we provide the employee the space to share, and obviously following all HIPAA protocols and all of that, right, we're not forcing people to tell us more, but if you tell us what you need, and we can partner around that and provide flexible opportunities, we actually have workers that are more productive than they would be if they are spending a portion of their energy worrying about if they're measuring up to what we need. So it's important to be really clear about expectations. It's important to be really clear about when those can be flexible. It doesn't work, though, I'll say, in all positions. I mean, we want it to. What I worry about is for those folks that are in maybe lower paying jobs, those essential workers that we have all learned and heard about in the last few years, those individuals and those employers sometimes I think struggle a little bit more, right? So what you have...
Those are people who might not have any other choice other than
correct.
To take that time
It's
off.
Very easy for me to say someone who can work remotely, right? We're going to set up a flexible situation for you and you can work from your home. We're going to help you have an adapted schedule. We're going to do those things. And for someone, though, who's providing a one-to-one support to an individual and that's what they're paid to do, or for someone who might be in a manufacturing job, you have to build bench strength for those positions as an employer so that when one of the team needs to step back, there's others who are willing to step forward. And again, it's building that community within your own employer and within your own company. And it has to come from the very top down. You know, we're very privileged in that we have seen sort of ahead, right? We provide a service at my company, so we are in people's homes. We see it from both sides, so we are.
You provide personal care and other home care.
Correct. So for caregivers who are struggling, right? So we have to be on both sides of the table. Sometimes we say, but so that's just part of our culture, right? We're going to support people to do their best work in the way that they need to do it, and try to provide the resources we can to make that happen. The workforce crisis makes that harder. Right, I think that we talk about, you know, if I use Dane County, which is a county that we provide services in, and that there are a 1%, if you go to 1% unemployment rate,
right,
and 400,000 people, there's only 4,000 people in Dane County looking for work right now.
In any sector.
Right. Correct.
Right.
So when somebody's looking at that menu of where do I apply, it's really, it's risky on our end, right? There just aren't enough human bodies in the in the community to work. And I don't want to talk about people in that way, but that's just our reality. Yeah. Of where we're at as a country and where we're at as a community. So,
well, let's talk a little bit more about that because I think you talked about deepening the bench. Employers need, which is kind of hard to do when we're in this statewide workforce shortage. We heard from the Department of Workforce Development last week about this situation, significant workforce shortage, not only in Wisconsin but across the country, but in some ways our employment picture is healthier in that a lot of people are working, but he had said 66.5% labor force participation in Wisconsin. That's 4.2% higher than the rest of the country. So that leaves employers kind of trying to recruit and retain a lot of the same workers. Let's hear more from Wisconsin's chief economist, Dennis Winters.
The underlying labor challenge is demographic, right? Essentially, baby boomers aging out of the workforce, and they will continue to do so, and they'll just ramp that up as they continue to age out. And there continues to be a focus need to tap our unutilized workforce and how we can get people, everybody we can, into the workforce and matched up with the needs of business. So my little adage is find everybody we can and get everybody trained up to the skills that they need to contribute to the economy.
So Mr. Winters talks about employers needing to get creative in their strategies to kind of keep the employees that they have. And that requires a different HR focus maybe than what we were doing 15 years ago. What are some creative things that employers are doing?
Sure. There are a lot of good ideas out there. Some companies are really stepping up to the plate. They know this is an issue. A study came out from the Harvard Business School, actually, in 2019 already. It's called the Managing the Future of Work, the Caring Company. And if you go online, you can find the study, but there are a lot of good videos as well that any employer can look at. What they really recommend is for companies to view the issue of caregiver support more through a lens of talent management rather than exclusively as a potential expensive benefit that they might have to provide their employees.
What does that mean, talent management?
Talent management means a way to keep your good, best people, a way to bring them in the door, and to realize that we all are caregivers in some way, in some form, at some time. And what we haven't done a real good job, I think, in the past is we just assume somehow it will get taken care of, right? But we need to really start planning for that now. And if people look to their employer as somebody who can help them do that, they look at the benefits they offer. But another thing that we want businesses to look at us through the state of Wisconsin or community organizations in our alliance is that there are a lot of things out there right now. We have family caregiver support programs. You have education. We have online tools, things that caregivers can use that are already available that many employers don't know about, that we really want to make sure they know about them and consider them as an addition to any benefits that they may already be offering.
So in the same way, maybe over years that they have addressed, for instance, childcare issues of female workers that are working.
Right.
Interesting. A new generation. How has Community Living Alliance changed up the way or enhanced their supports for caregiver employees?
Thanks. I think the reality is we're always learning. Right? I think there's the lovely, you know, Maya Angelou quote of know better, do better. So I don't want anyone, you know, I'm not proclaiming that we've got it figured out, but we've certainly got the, I think, a desire to learn, right? And to do the best we can. One of the things that we've looked at is what is a rule that's made by the government, right? What's a law and what's something we created just in our own culture? Right, because a lot of times employers and in the way you create maybe policies or handbooks for your employees, you're basing them, I think we have historically, on the things that have gone wrong, right? How do we protect ourselves and prevent a situation that might have ongoing consequences in an employment law space? And we might overreach on that space. So you have to think about it in a very person-centered way, right? And you have to talk it through with the person. So we've done that, I think. We've worked at creating boundaries around what is a law, what, how far have we taken a rule?
I mean, right? Employment laws that are maybe could be viewed black and white, but you're looking for that gray space.
Yeah, in very simple stuff that if, you know, we're around, and again, not to say we're doing it perfectly, but we want people to show up to work on time, right? But if you have an appointment or if you've got, if you're a caregiver and the person who's coming in to take care of your loved one is late, right, that impacts the rest of your day. So if we can give people a little bit of flexibility around that and not have very strict, if you're not, you know,
three times late.
Strikes, you're out, mm-hmm. and we're not going to talk about it. We try really hard not to do that when we can.
That's hard for employers.
Very hard. And it also depends upon, you know, again, upon your businesses, right? If you're, I just heard a story about somebody who worked for a company and they punched in a minute early so that they could get right to work. And they were fired that afternoon because they didn't punch in on time, right? And then they eventually repealed that situation, got changed over. But it was one of those instances where the rule was the rule, right? And it was a rule the company had made. It wasn't a rule that came from somewhere else. So I think you have to look at your
HR policies.
You've got to look at your HR policies and decide what have we put in place that's a barrier that we can maybe be flexible about. I think you also have to look at, in recruiting people, you have to look at what are you promoting in those initial interviews. As a benefit, and as a, are you establishing some relationship ideas in that space, right? That you're working with people in a partnership. And I really want to focus, the retention is huge, right? There's a cost in the loss of institutional knowledge. There's a loss of community, you know, relationships people have built if people are leaving and going to other employers. So it's important to invest in who's in there now, right? Who's on the team? Recognizing that every morning everybody gets up to do their best work. So if something happens throughout the day, if somebody has an error, someone makes a mistake, it's not because they wanted to make a mistake, right? So also what we've looked at is when somebody isn't maybe performing at the level, is it something we could do to help them, right? Is it a skill we could help someone learn so that we're keeping people over time and helping them to grow and feeling valued in that space?
It seems like a more modern human resources strategy mm-hmm. is required, which is one
Absolutely.
Of the things that the survey uncovered, that very few caregivers using that Family Medical Leave Act, mm-hmm. FMLA benefit. What did you take away from that? Why is it that caregivers aren't using that benefit in Wisconsin?
Yeah. Well, our survey didn't specifically ask why. We asked them if they were using it and how often and that sort of thing. But from what I know working with family caregivers and what I've heard from others is that, you know, FMLA was really created, I think, with the thought of if something happens that you can plan for, a pregnancy, you know when that date's going to be. You schedule the surgery. You know you're going to need 6 weeks to recuperate. That is the sort of thing that FMLA is really the most useful for. Even
though caregiving isn't as predictable.
Whereas, right, as if caregiving comes out of an emergency situation, a crisis, an accident, a diagnosis that you didn't expect, it's very hard to plan to use that. And because it may be a long-term situation, or if you're caring for someone who has a disability over a lifetime, that FMLA is not really going to address the needs of that caregiver. They're going to need other things to support them.
That are more helpful.
Exactly.
Well, also, it's not paid leave in Wisconsin,
yes,
is it?
Correct.
And which makes a difference.
Which is,
for
it's a financial hardship, too, for a lot of people to need to take that.
Yeah.
So you referenced the Harvard Business School report that came out in 2019, really kind of sounding the alarm bells about this for employers calling caregivers an underutilized workforce and that employers really kind of need to wake up to this crisis. They say in the report, many employers remain strangely unaware of the magnitude and impact of the changing demographics of care and the economic consequences. Surveys of employers' attitudes about caregiving reveal there's a gross misalignment between what companies currently provide and what employers need. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Sorry, I caught you mid-drink. Do you agree with employers really just not being aware of this population?
Yeah, I do. And not only, it's not that they're not trying to help. I mean, you feel like they offer things like mm-hmm. FMLA, and not every job can be as flexible as the next. That's one other thing I just want to make sure anybody watching this is aware. We're not saying that everybody has to do the exact same thing, because depending on what your industry is, it may or may not mm-hmm. be possible. Mm-hmm. But what we do want to know them to know is that there is a menu of things you can choose from. Some you may be able to do, some you may not, even if you're self-employed, a large employer, mm-hmm. a medium-sized employer, there's probably something you can do. But the misalignment of what people say they want and what their employer may be offering them does not match up.
We have a lot to learn.
I think it's also helping people use the same language of what it is they want or they need.
Sometimes caregivers don't know how to describe it.
Right, exactly. Not knowing what to ask for, right? So the FMLA is an example. There is an opportunity for sort of an intermittent FMLA situation, right? So if you know you might need it, and you know you might need it a couple hours a month, but not taking full weeks off of time, right? Like that space for people. And I don't know that we've done a great job educating employees and caregivers of what it is you can put on the table with your employer, because there's a fear, right? I mean, HR, I love myself some human resources staff. I think they're pretty great people, but they can be really scary.
Rigid.
Well, and they're it's not scary to me, but I'm just like, right, rigid, and what happens if I ask the question, right?
About what support,
about what I need.
Family caregiver supports are.
Right, and admitting that I might be, it's a very vulnerable conversation to have.
Let's talk a little bit about public policy. Yeah. You know, FMLA, clearly public policy that's been debated. Let's expand FMLA in Wisconsin. It will fix caregiver problems. Mm-hmm. Is there another public policy? What could the legislature do? Do you have a recommendation?
I've been told that I can't legislate emotion, and I really wish sometimes I could. That's my nature, right? But I think that, again, it's this space of helping employees have the tools they need and providing that information about what are the options. I think the survey does a great job of showing what some of those resources might be.
So maybe it's around information and resource
development. It's information, it's resources, and it's education, for sure, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a space where the legislature can step in, just to help people know what's out there.
Well, you know, speaking of resources, you've managed the state's family caregiver support programs for about 12 years now. And how have the needs of caregivers changed? How have you tried to enhance caregiver supports in the state?
Sure. Over the years, we have two primary family caregiver support programs for older adults, and that is the National Family Caregiver Support Program and the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Family Caregiver Support Program, which the second one, the Alzheimer's program, is obviously for somebody who has got a dementia diagnosis. But these serve anybody age 6. You know, if you're caring for someone age 60 or older, it's not a Medicaid program. It's not a means-tested program. It's really for anybody who is caring for an adult at home who is over the age of 60. And grandparents raising grandchildren also qualify at age 55. So just the fact that people don't know that it exists is my, you know, that's been one of the things I've been trying to do for years, is trying to get that message out there and the marketing of it.
You mentioned dementia supports. Mm-hmm. There are more people living with Alzheimer's now than there were 10 years ago. Is that something that you've tried to address through the caregiver support programs?
Yes, we definitely have. We've seen, I think, you know, the legislature has recognized that and actually put more funding into our Wisconsin Alzheimer's Family Caregiver Support Program, which has been greatly beneficial for those families, because we know the numbers, because people are aging and living longer, we're going to have more people with dementia in the future. And those people, by and large, they live at home with their families until the very late stages of the disease. So,
And some of them, some need to keep working in order to keep an income in the household.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Caregivers need that income. So they want to make this work.
I think it is that the change in the last 10 years, right, is that people are living longer and people are living at home. Mm-hmm. Right. If we think back to when, you know, I think back to when I was younger, if my mom, you know, my uncle, great uncle had a stroke, he went to live somewhere else. Right.
In a home of some sort.
Right. And right now we've got availability and waivers and supports in Wisconsin to help people live their best lives in their own home. Mm-hmm. Right. And if somebody wants to be at home, then we need the supports at home. And as is, you know, what we see happening is that is defaulting on the women, and you know, mostly women who are over the age of 40 are providing those cares, and it's seen as, sometimes I think they feel like it's their duty, right? And we have strong women in Wisconsin who don't always want to ask for the help that's there, right. So it's important for employers to be aware and to listen, and I think to your point about policy, to be part of the advocacy of what could happen.
Right. To get engaged caregivers in their spare time.
Exactly, in their spare time. Well, not even that, but just employers using their own voice to say, this is, again, to your point, if this is a workforce that we don't talk about a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Underutilized. How do you get behind your employees in that space as well and advocate for what it is they need on a policy level?
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the impact on women. That mm-hmm. Harvard report was looking toward the future and talked about by 2030, for the first time in the nation's history, we will have a population where the people age 65 and older are higher than the number of people under the age of 18, and that there will be more women in all areas in the workforce. What is the impact on women, Lynn, in terms of this kind of caregiving employee crisis?
Sure. Well, because most of, a lot of the, you know, it falls on them to have to do this, both culturally and just by mere fact, we know that there's going to be more strain on women, keeping them in the workforce, that pull to care for their own children,
and now maybe
a spouse who's aging at the same time, exactly, and they may still have parents who are alive. So you could be caring for three generations, and if you throw in a great-grandchild into there, boy, you're really,
trying to keep
your
job.
Hands are full, right?
You're trying to keep a job, and the neighbor whose kid lives far away, you're trying to help.
People look to you, and right now we've got about 350,000 women over the age of 55 in the Wisconsin's workforce, and so those people are of age 55, and they are going to be retiring soon.
We're looking, too, at the impact of the pandemic on working caregivers, which I know is another kind of a wrench thrown into this issue for not just women, but all caregivers. Mm-hmm. More than half of respondents to the survey said their caregiving responsibilities have increased throughout the pandemic. 4 in 10 caregivers indicated the pandemic has made it more difficult to balance caregiving and their work. Mm-hmm. And that was 40%. And 40% of caregivers indicated they have even less time to themselves as a result of the pandemic. So. Right. Talk about a crisis, huh?
Right, yeah. It's just one thing on top of another. And we, you know, I hope we can do something in the near future. The one thing I just want to kind of mention that I thought was important in the survey is that the things that caregivers identified as that they really wanted the most from their employer were flexible schedules and remote work options, if that's possible in the kind of job they have, information about caregiving benefits that their employer offers. They want easy access to quality in-home care providers when they need them, so that we know that help paying for that care, too,
is something
that they need.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Resources that help them with legal, financial, and health care planning were also mentioned. Those came to the top of the list, as well as connection with other caregivers and professionals who can help them cope with their caregiving responsibilities. And a lot of companies do some sort of on-site caregiver support groups or employee groups that get together and just give people an opportunity to talk. And that's something I think helps them cope with the stress and learn some new ways of dealing with being a caregiver and holding a job.
Yeah. What do employers need?
Well, we need more people. You know, I think that's the space. So I think the attention, I'll just say what I think came out of the pandemic, which is this awareness of the issue, right? Caregiving was kind of happening underneath the radar for a lot of times, and the pandemic really brought light to that because it put stress on all of us as a community. And I think what employers need is to be able to have the flexibility, like I said, related to what is law, what is our own policy, and how do we find those spaces, but also to be really aware of and to have some opportunities to learn about what it means to provide care. How do you set up these like lived experience peer-to-peer conversations? This is what Lynn's talking about, is these groups to help people find each other within a workforce. People need to know how to do that. Employers aren't sure, right? And no one wants to make a mistake because there's lots of consequences as an employer if you do it the wrong way. So I think employers need opportunities to learn, and they need to know where the resources are, and Lynn's supports through the department do great things for that.
We're going to close out our conversation with a slide showing resources, and then if you want to help us, Lynn, understand what's available, we're looking at a link to the Family Caregiver Support Programs, Wisconsin's Aging and Disability Resource Centers that are located throughout the state to serve any region of the state, an employer dementia toolkit, which we talked about the impact mm-hmm. of dementia in the workforce, and then the Respite Care Association of Wisconsin. What's one thing you would hope people would go and check out today if this is an issue that impacts them?
Today, I would say, well, the first place you should always start is your Aging and Disability Resource Absolutely. Center. They are really, they've got options counselors to tell you your options, and they'll be unbiased and just give you information. The other thing that's the easiest to do, you don't have to go anywhere, you don't even have to pick up a phone, is we have in Wisconsin a new online caregiver resource mm-hmm. tool called Truulta, and it is online caregiver education and training that is free to anybody who wants mm-hmm. to sign up for an account. And from the comfort of your own home, you can learn about a number of different conditions and how to be a good caregiver, how to sustain yourself, how to protect yourself from getting an injury doing caregiving. There are videos and written articles and even articles that will read to you. There's music on there for music and memory sort of thing mm-hmm. for people with dementia. There's all sorts of resources on there, and I really would hope that people would go to our Truulta page and sign up for a free account. Take a look around, and I think you'll find something that will be very useful. We knew that having something available when the Aging and Disability Resource Centers are closed 24 hours a day was really important, mm-hmm. and we think this is a nice new tool that we added during this COVID time when people couldn't go in mm-hmm. and see people in person. It was hard to see people in person, to get to go to a class. Now you have this online tool available, and so I really hope people check that out.
So lots Absolutely. Of great resources, and people just need to be connected mm-hmm. to them and find them, whether you're an employer or a caregiver.
Absolutely. Okay. I think it's important for employers to look to develop a relationship with their Aging Disability Resource Center and who those folks are there, right? That we often think you only go there if you're someone who needs a support. But those relationships within those community resources for HR departments and other is very important.
Well, the good
important.
Thing is a lot of that information is free.
Exactly. So,
right. Well, that's a great way to close out our conversation. Thank you both for
Thanks
joining
for
us
having.
Today.
Well,
thank you for having us.
And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we highlight the issues and sit down with the decision makers who make a difference for all of us.
This program was brought to you from the Margaret Farrell Studio.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.